There are three things that I'm most excited for this trip, which is Turkish Air business class, staying in Barcelona hotel and Madrid hotel, all on points. And then the third thing I'm most excited for is, and book this on points as well, Madrid to Zurich. I've never been to Switzerland, really excited, but I'm flying Swiss Air back to New York.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Lexi Kaz. Lexi is a former Division I soccer player turned digital nomad and public relations extraordinaire. She wrote an Amazon best-selling book and has been featured in Yahoo Finance, Business Insider, Bloomberg Week, and Digital Journal for her work in the digital marketing space and beyond. Additionally, she is a client of GeoBreeze Travel, and I am so excited for her to share some of the amazing points wins that she has gotten in the past year. In this episode, expect to hear about how business expenses allows Lexi to earn points for travel, how Air India might not be that bad anymore, how you can get featured in big name media outlets for free as well, and so much more. And if you're a business owner like Lexi, consider a business credit card such as the Chase Inc. Business Preferred Card. This card earns 3x points on common business spend categories like internet, shipping, and travel. But remember, if you decide to apply for the Chase Inc. Business Preferred or any other card, please never, ever, ever apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Chase Inc. Business Preferred and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. If you are looking for some shortcuts for how to find great flight and hotel deals faster, listen up. I am hosting a free live training on the best tools and techniques to find award travel sweet spots faster. So if you are interested in the abridged playbook for how to turn your everyday expenses into as many points as possible and how to maximize those points when it comes time to redeem for luxury trips, you can register for the free live training at geobreezetravel.com/webinar. I only host these types of free live trainings once every few months, and recordings are not available afterwards, because we usually talk about some stuff that I'm not supposed to post on the internet. So if you miss it, you miss out. Again, you can register for free at geobreezetravel.com/webinar, and I will see you there. Hey, Lexi, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here and to talk about all of your amazing adventures that you've gotten to take to Bali, and now you're going to Europe and so many other places. But before we jump into all of that, tell us about you and your background, and how did you get into the world of points?
Funny enough, I actually listened to a podcast that you were on. And that's actually, I don't know if I've ever told you that, but yeah, my mom's always been into points and points hacking, as she calls it. And so she inspired me. I think the older I got, the more I realized that if I wanted to run my own business, there were a ton of ways that I could soak value out of the money that I was already spending and to travel. So combined business and travel and two, you know, the most exciting things for me in my life. I would say it started from, yeah, listening to my mom, learning how to travel hack and then getting business class tickets on points. And then I found you on a podcast as well, which I then sent to my mom. And then I remember it was towards the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur since I was like 9. I've sold things on eBay, like Lego people and electronics and a bunch of random stuff. But essentially, once I started my own business, that's when I remembered the podcast that you were on. And I'm pretty sure I reached out to you and we found the time to go over like building an infrastructure of how I can start leveraging the expenses that I'm already spending into travel. So that's a brief overview of how it started, which is full circle, which is pretty beautiful to be back or to be here with you. Yeah, I would say that's a pretty brief rundown.
So you mentioned you kind of fit in the Venn diagram of business and travel. For everybody who's not watching the YouTube and they're just listening to this on audio, you're very young and you already have your whole business set up and everything, and you got started at age 19. Can you talk about how did you decide to launch your business? What is it that you do? And how did you eventually tie all of that into points?
Yeah, let's see. I think, yeah, I started my business at 19. Basically, like before that, I was a college soccer player. I mean, if you're watching the YouTube video, you'll see my Argentina jersey that I'm wearing right now. But basically, I was a college soccer player in San Diego, California. And it was during the COVID pandemic. And, you know, probably every person listening had their own experience with the pandemic and how it affected them and changed their life. And so I was in school during that time. I was a freshman in university and everything was online. So I was unhappy, I would say, in a nutshell, like to describe that experience. I loved my teammates. I loved playing soccer, but it was very hard for me to be in Zoom school for a year. And so I ended up taking a gap year after that first freshman year and traveled. And I did some gap year programs. So I've had like training wheels, I would say, to now how I'm been able to travel. But during that time, I found a course online because I was letting go of that soccer identity or how much it took up my time. Basically, I realized, wow, now I have so much time to explore other avenues. And I've always been entrepreneurial, but never really had the energy or time to focus and put energy into. And so I found a course online. And I remember looking on YouTube one day, like ways to make money, because I wanted to expand my knowledge in that area. I also read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, if I'm remembering, like, I think that was the first book that I was like, damn, like, that's really smart. So I wanted to then figure out ways to make money work for me, essentially. And so looked up YouTube videos, ways to make money, got hit with a YouTube ad of this guy explaining how to start your own agency. I thought the concept was brilliant. So I got on the sales call, they took my money, and it was one of the best decisions I had made. But I think what's ironic about the whole thing is it was the most money I've ever spent on myself, but it was a fraction of what college costs. More, it was a tenth of what college costs. And I still had some reservations investing that in myself because society really encourages spending that money in university and it's kind of the norm. So I would say in a nutshell, yeah, it started from a course online. And then of course it expanded. I invested in other courses, books, and I met people along the way like yourself and continue to expand my knowledge from there. But it really just started from having the wanting to find other ways to build my entrepreneurial journey.
How did you decide to build a PR agency? Was the course specifically on building a PR agency or like any kind of agency, like travel agency, marketing agency? How did you kind of fall into the world of PR?
Yeah. No, I think that's a good question because at first the course explained like how to build a full scale marketing agency, like you said, but I tried different offers. Like I did search engine optimization and I did lead generation and I kind of dipped my toes in those offers, but ended up realizing it was a little too complicated for me. And I knew that if I wanted to be successful in one, I had to pick one. And I ended up picking PR because I saw how much you could sell it for. That was one thing. And then the other thing really was about, I felt that there would always be a need for it because every business owner needs to be able to market their business and build credibility for themselves and establish social proof, even if unconsciously they don't even feel like they need it. But anybody who uses Amazon or any online platform, I feel needs to see some social proof or reviews before making a purchase. And I feel it's the same thing for B2B and having your own service. So yeah, I would say it stemmed from realizing that there would always be a need for this and that I was telling stories. And I think it tied into how much I love people and meeting people and talking to people and listening. And so that's kind of how it evolved.
How are you earning points on running a PR agency? It's not like Amazon reselling or anything like that, where clearly there is merchandise that you have to purchase and then you're reselling it. So as someone who runs a PR agency, how are you earning points by running this business?
I have expenses each month. You know, I work with now 11 independent contractors, which is awesome to even say out loud because it started, I mean, I'm almost 3 years into my business and it started with just me. And so to be able to have as much teamwork and help, I have my own starting 11, I have my own soccer team. If I think about it, I didn't even put that together. I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, essentially I have, you know, those payments to pay the independent contractors. I have a good amount of payments for software expenses and maybe some other expenses. But I would say, yeah, at least every month I know I'm going to have to pay for software, pay for contractors, pay for partnerships with these publishing platforms that I work with to publish the PR. So I'm earning a pretty good amount of points because of those expenses, but also because of the strategy we built with, you know, making sure I know which credit cards to get, how to get the most points for each purchase that I get. And I spend a lot of money on coffee. So that probably gets me a good amount of points too.
How are you spending these points? What are some of the different trips you've gotten to take? And walk us through all of the different details. What points did you spend? How many did you spend? What did you fly? How was it? Tell us all the details.
Yes. So I think the first, and I remember, you know, we were emailing about this because I needed a lot of help at first. I wanted business class tickets, right? I remember that was like my ideal goal. That's so awesome to be able to, people spend anywhere from 3, 5, 10 grand sometimes and be on a business class ticket to be able to pay maybe $80 or $100 in taxes and to get a business class ticket from LAX to Bali, which is the first one that you helped me navigate. And yeah, that one was incredible because on the way there, I flew economy, which was very challenging because it's the longest flight. It's one of the longest flights in the world, or if not the longest flight in the world from LAX.
It's a very long flight. The longest direct flight in the world is from either JFK or Newark, I forget which one, all the way to Singapore. So that's the longest direct one. But the time that you spend in the sky to get from LAX to Bali is about the same, except there's a connection in Singapore there.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I would say to be able to, so I flew economy there, but to have business class on Singapore Air on the way home, I didn't want to get off the plane, basically. And now whenever I fly business class, I don't really want to get off the plane because it's so incredible. So that was my first experience using my own points from my business to get a business class ticket from Bali. I think I might have got like a cheap ticket from Bali to Singapore and then Singapore to LAX. But essentially, it was to get to Bali. And so that was the first one I used Air Canada.
Air Canada transfers from pretty much everybody, not Citi, but you can transfer Amex points, Chase points, Capital One points, Bilt points over to Air Canada. And yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, you book this through Singapore Airlines. That's pretty good because pretty much everything will transfer to Singapore Airlines. But we were able to find this ticket for you for cheaper through Air Canada versus what they were charging on Singapore Airlines for the exact same flight. So it's nice when we're able to find that kind of sweet spot saver availability with partner airlines.
Yeah. And I think that now that's my go-to hack of, because I have more Chase points versus Amex, because I have the one Amex, being able to transfer with other travel partners as well as Hyatt. Now it's my go-to. So when I was in Bali, I remember I booked, I think it was 8,000 points a night. I think we even talked about that too, because you were able to hook me up with the...
Oh yeah, Hyatt Guest of Honor.
Yeah. That was awesome. Thank you again.
Yeah, that's something we're able to do for a lot of our clients. Now that we have a much larger client base, it's kind of first come, first serve with the guest of honor thing. But yeah, back in the day when we had a smaller client base, we were getting pretty much everybody free breakfast and upgrades upon availability. And a lot of people on the internet are like, how do I get Hyatt Globalist? I need to chase status. I need to do all these things. Or you can find a friend who can guest of honor you. It might be a lot easier to just buy a friend who's a globalist a few dinners or something and then have them guest of honor you versus like trying to chase the status yourself. So it's kind of the power of networking and having some different business contacts as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that was so nice because not only was it such a nice resort in Indonesia that I was at, but to be able to have the free breakfast. And I think, yeah, they knew that my status or because I was using your status, I had some perks as well on top of that. So that was really nice. but also to be able to book through Hyatt. They're like, that's my go-to hotel partner now, because I've booked some through Amex hotels. Like my upcoming trip, which I'll talk about in a second, is I've booked some through Amex, but Hyatt has been just the more bang for my buck, but also just incredible places to stay. Like in December, I went to New York. In December, New York City, probably one of the biggest, busiest times of the year.
Which one did you book?
The Grayson in Manhattan.
Very cool. And you've taken a lot more trips since Bali and New York as well, right? Tell us about one of the more recent ones that you've been able to book as well.
Yeah. So after Bali, I went back this past summer as well. And this time I was able to book business class there and business class back. And so not a direct flight. I remember going there, I flew Singapore Air going there, but routed through Tokyo. The coolest part about that was that I was able to experience the Tokyo business class lounge, and that was really nice. But nothing beats the Singapore business class lounge. That probably is my favorite one that I've been to so far, because not only, I think the coolest part about flying business class on points is you get the business class experience of travel and flying, but also you go into these lounges. And I just remember thinking, like, there are a lot of wealthy people in here, and I feel like I stick out just because I'm by myself. I have my hoodie on and I'm just on my computer, and everybody I feel is just very, very wealthy. But it made me realize like how awesome it is that I don't have to spend thousands of dollars to be enjoying this experience. So yeah, I would say that was a wonderful trip, because on the way home, I booked Bali to Singapore. That was cash, or I think I used points. I booked it through Singapore and it wasn't too expensive, but my flight from Singapore was Singapore to India, India to San Francisco. And when I got to Singapore, I had 19 hours until my next flight. So what I did was I went to the business class lounge of Singapore and I was there the whole time. I know that I could have maybe went into Singapore, but I love that lounge so much that I ate there, lunch, dinner, breakfast. I slept on the couch because it was easier for me to do that than book a expensive. I wanted to maybe experience a Singapore hotel, but I don't think I found availability. And my flight was like at 5 or 6 a.m. the next day. So I ended up sleeping on the couch, eating all the food, working a little. And then I woke up around like 4:35 and I took a shower in the business class lounge. And it was one of the nicest showers. Like, it looks like a hotel room, marble floors. And yeah, so I was refreshed and ready for my flight to India. And so then I went to India. I flew Singapore Air to India. Then from Mumbai, I flew to San Francisco, but I flew India, Air India. And it probably was one of the nicest airlines that I've ever flown. And when I looked up online, there were some horror stories of just like, it's outdated or it's not the nicest, but I must have been on the newest plane or something, because I had a suite door. I wanted to ask you this because they told me it was business class, or at least that's what my ticket said, but I was the first seat in the plane. So did they just not have first class?
Some planes don't have first class.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that felt like first class. So maybe I'll just say it was first class, but basically, yeah, I booked this on points and I had my own suite door, essentially. They gave me Tumi pajamas, which was crazy. I have a Tumi little, they gave me like a little travel, but what's the word? Yeah, kit, exactly. And now I use it just for, it's in my backpack. I use it all the time because it's beautiful. And there's even an emblem, I think that's what it's called, where I can get my name like engraved. It was just over the top. It was incredible. And I booked it on points. So now I have a set of Tumi pajamas and a Tumi kit that I can use whenever I want. And it was a great trip. So that was my Asia experience, which I love and I would love to go back. But what I'm doing in March, because February now, I'm in like 10 days or so, or 11, March 4, I'm going to Turkey, Greece, Italy, Spain, and Zurich. And I booked my two heaviest flights all on points business class. So I'm going from LAX, because I'm based in LA, LAX to Turkey, Turkish Air. I'm really excited because I've never flown Turkish Air business class and I've heard wonderful things. Have you flown Turkish Air business?
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorites, especially with the newer planes and because their catering is just so good. And I think my favorite thing that they serve is the rice pudding with a little bit of caramelized whatever on top. I always think it's mashed potatoes and gravy. And then I dig in, I was like, oh, I forgot. I love this rice pudding because it's like a couple years between each time that I fly Turkish, but they are one of my favorites for catering.
Awesome. No, I'm excited. Yeah, I can't wait. I think, yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. And like I told you, I love coffee. So I bet the Turkish coffee will be pretty good too. I'm going from LAX to Turkish Air. So business class lounge in LA, I get to experience. I'm bummed I don't get to experience the Istanbul Airport business class lounge because I've heard great things about that too. Have you been to that business class lounge?
No, when we flew out of Istanbul, we were flying British Airways on the saddest business class flight of my life. Not every business class is created equal. It's not Star Alliance, which is what Turkish is. It's part of the One World Alliance. So they cram everybody else into like this other lounge where the line was so long that we just didn't go into the lounge. We just hung out at Sparrow, had some Diet Coke there. And then the flight over to England was only 5 hours and it wasn't a business class seat. It's just an economy seat, but they block off the middle seat. And then like the armrests weren't working. When we tried to put the armrests up, they would just like karate chop back down. And there wasn't any actual leg room. It was like hilariously bad. I have a reel about it somewhere. But yeah, you are going to have a better experience.
Good. Wow. That was British Airways?
That was British Airways intra-Europe business class. My British Airways flight from England back to Las Vegas was fantastic. But the intra-Europe ones are just sad. If anybody's like, should I book business class tickets for just an intra-Europe flight? It's not worth it.
Good to know. Noted. Wow. Yeah, I think that's what I thought Air India would be because that's what I had heard. But I think they must have changed at least that flight.
Yeah, I have also heard a lot of horror stories about Air India. I haven't flown them yet and I usually deter people from them. But now that you have said that it's a pretty good product, I might want to check it out myself and start recommending it more because usually whenever we're sending people over to Asia for clients and things like that, I'm like, yeah, maybe like avoid the Air India routes just because also there's often just one seat available from what I've been seeing lately. So if it's like a couple or a family who's flying, they might struggle to find multiple seats. But I mean, if they're giving you Tumi pajamas and a nice amenity kit and like a suite door and everything, it might be worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was shocked. I kind of looked around. I was like, I'm not sure if I went on the right plane or I remember before walking into my, before entering the plane, I was like, I really hope that this is nice just because it's such a, I just slept or I was just in Singapore, a business class lounge. It was very nice, but I have been traveling for almost 48 hours at this point. So I just remember thinking, okay, Lexi, like you'll get through this. It'll be okay. But it ended up being really nice just because I remember seeing on, I think it was some blog, yeah, that they didn't have armrests or that it was looked like 1990. So yeah, no, I'm excited definitely for Turkish Air because I haven't done that. And then actually from Istanbul, then going to Athens, booked some, most of those in cash. But then from there going to Italy, also in cash. But then from Italy to Spain, booked a lot of those on points. All, I'm pretty sure most of those were case points. Avianca. I booked through Avianca. There are three things that I'm most excited for this trip, which is Turkish Air business class, staying in Barcelona hotel and Madrid hotel, all on points, Hyatt. So really excited for that experience because correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure when you do Hyatt, like you don't pay any cash. It's purely points, right? Like they don't charge taxes like they do with tickets or plane tickets, right?
Like with Marriott, you still have to pay the taxes and fees on your hotel room. But with Hyatt, when you pay with points, free is free. You don't have to pay any taxes, which can be huge if you're staying at like resorts or anything that has like a water park attached, like a lot of the ones in Florida or the Bahamas or all inclusives or anything like that. It can get very pricey. But yeah, with Hyatt, free is free.
When it says all inclusive Hyatt, because I saw one in Spain in Mallorca, but I didn't end up booking that. Does that mean you can get everything like food?
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow. That's a hack. Yeah. I'll have to do that and let you know. But yeah, and then the third thing I'm most excited for is, and book this on points as well, Madrid to Zurich. I've never been to Switzerland, really excited, but I'm flying Swiss Air back to New York, or flying back to the States, Zurich to New York on Swiss Air, and I've never had that business class experience. So really excited. Have you had an experience with Swiss Air?
Swiss Air is notoriously difficult to book. So I'm very, very proud of you for getting that one on business class, because they are notoriously difficult. I'm flying the Fifth Freedom flight between Argentina and Brazil that they offer, because that was the only one I could find where I'm like, I really want to experience Swiss business class. I was trying for first class and it was phantom availability on United. It wasn't actually there with Air Canada. I booked it through Avianca and I like bought $500 worth of points in order to book it. And then it didn't show up on Avianca. So then I panicked, but it worked through the app instead of the website for whatever reason. So then I was able to purchase $500 of points, turn it around and book $2,000 worth of tickets there. So that was pretty good for two business class tickets. It's a pretty short flight, so you'll get to experience a lot more Swiss Airlines business class than I will. I've only flown their economy product way back in the day, and that was already a really nice product. They have very, very good ice cream if they still serve Mövenpick on there. So I'm very excited for you.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'll have to let you know how it goes. My mom has flown Swiss Air and she's and Turkish. And I think those two, I know she mentioned, were two of her favorite. And so, yeah, I'm excited to do that. And then we have some timeshares, like some timeshare points. And it's a separate game with credit card points. But I'm actually using some timeshare points to stay in New York for a couple of days at a Hilton and then booked New York to LAX on points. So anywhere I can fit points, whatever currency, that's my mindset now, thanks to you. So that's my upcoming trip and I'm really excited for it.
I am so excited for you too, because yeah, just with all the trips you've gotten to do, you've done Bali twice, you got to go to India, Turkey, Greece, Spain, Switzerland, so many different things as you're growing your business too. So talk about that a little bit. How do you work abroad and how are you still managing like all your PR clients and everything else? And then kind of talk about for people who want to get into Business Insider or Forbes or things like that. I wish I had met you before I did everything the hard way and pitched all of these journalists myself to get into all of these different outlets. But how, one, are you managing all of this while constantly traveling? And number two, if somebody's like, how do I get quoted in these places? Mm-hmm. What's your recommendations for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do think that I've adjusted and improved over time. I would say that it depends on the time zone that I'm in. The majority I'm in Pacific Standard Time because I'm in California as my home base. And so that's usually not an issue. I get into a flow of most of my clients happen to be East Coast. So I just kind of get into a rhythm with that. And I'm very lucky to have such a wonderful team that I work with where they're all in different time zones, but we kind of all cater to the East Coast time zone just because that's where the majority is with our clients. And so I remember when I was in Bali, Asia is a big time difference compared to California. And so when I woke up in the morning, I would work for a little bit, but then the rest of the world would be asleep. The rest of my clients' worlds, they were sleeping because they were mostly on the East Coast. And when I woke up, let's say 7 a.m. or 6 a.m. in Bali, it was, don't quote me, I might not get this time change 100% right, but it was close to maybe like 4 or 5 p.m., if not later. So what was nice about being in Asia was that the whole day I really got to myself or my friends that I was with or to explore the island of Bali. So I feel like I adjusted to that. I knew I had to work in the morning and then work in the evening, but the majority of the day I could work on my business, more of the operation side, as well as travel and explore the country that I was in, because nobody would really communicate with me in the chunk of the day. So that was when I was in Bali. I actually was in Argentina in 2023 for 2 months. And that was incredible. It was actually, I went by myself. I speak a good amount of Spanish. And so I wanted to go to get better at it. That really was my goal. Also, my business partner is Argentinian, so I wanted to go be with his family for a little bit, and that was really fun. But essentially, I was there by myself, and it probably it was one of my favorite trips ever, just because my first solo trip, I explored Buenos Aires. I was also in Brazil for a little bit because I have friends there. So to be able to experience solo traveling, if anyone's not done it, you don't necessarily, I wouldn't recommend jumping into it right away, but like I said at the beginning of the pod, where I took some gap year programs after leaving school, those were like my training wheels, and I traveled with friends, then I did my solo trip, and I speak the language. I know I had confidence going in there, at least in that respect, because I could communicate, and I love soccer, and I had some family in the area. But when I was in Argentina, we were 2 hours ahead of East Coast. In the mornings, I actually had 2 hours to myself to drink my coffee, to focus on operations or planning out the day. And so each location that I went to, I adjusted to the time zone of it. I actually just forgot that there was one other trip. I don't know if I ever told you this, but in 2022, I went to Madrid. I went from LAX to Madrid. I'm pretty sure I paid cash for the ticket. But then I found a Madrid to LAX business class flight on Avianca coming back. And I remember, the reason I bring that up is because I found On Points, which is awesome, but also it appeared on the app or on some apps where when you purchase a ticket, then it tries to upsell you, like in their funnel, oh, you can upgrade, but it showed a points option, I'm pretty sure. Or there was some sort of upgrade where it wasn't really that much more. So I found a great opportunity and booked business class from Madrid to LAX. When I was in Europe, I had to adjust to working in the night because that's when most of the world was awake on the East Coast. So yeah, that's how I adjusted and have been able to maintain growing a team and taking ownership over the business, as well as sign more clients in different locations that I'm in. So that answers, I would say, the first question. But then the second one, what essentially is it that the business does, or like how can somebody get featured? Yeah, so my company gets business owners featured in national media publications. And essentially, it started, like I mentioned, you know, from a course. I learned that and I applied it to building my own agency. But almost 3 years later now, it's really evolved into two main services, as we'll write your press release, we'll get you featured in Yahoo Finance, Business Insider, the Associated Press, or if you're looking for more of an ongoing overarching strategy, we're your ongoing media team. And basically we leverage this platform called Quoted. And anyone out there listening who is a business owner and wants to get press, I recommend making a free Quoted account because it is free. I'm on the paid version, but you can still soak a lot of value out of the free version because basically it's LinkedIn for journalists. You hop in the platform, there's 200,000 plus, there's probably, you know, 300K journalists on that platform at this point in time. They are looking for sources and opportunities to write about those sources. And so they're actively looking for people to quote, to write about, and there's so many different industries and so many different journalists that are looking for industry specific sources. And so I've found for clients, radio segments, TV interviews, podcasts, speaking events, national media, it's not just articles. I've not been able to find a similar platform for PR that's like Quoted. So that's really what we're pushing currently with our clients, is doing that earned media for them, finding opportunities, pitching, landing them in these placements. And it's been great because I also know that anybody out there can do it themselves too. And so I've been really encouraging anybody who is starting their business or who has been in their business and wants press and doesn't really have a big budget or want to spend thousands of dollars on a PR agency, I'd recommend getting Quoted.
Yeah, when I was starting out and I was like, oh, I want to get featured in these places, I started out with Harrow and I just got the free version of that too, where basically a lot of journalists will say, hey, I'm writing a report on this new medical thing. Like, any doctors out there want to get quoted on this article that I'm writing about this new healthcare thing? And so I did that, except I was filtering it down to personal finance and credit card articles. And I mean, you can do it yourself. It's free. It's a slog. Harrow emailed me like a gazillion times a day. I had to make a Gmail filter just for Harrow because they will email you a lot. And they're just like, do you have dating advice that you want to be quoted on? I'm like, not really. No, I've been out of the game for a while. So yeah, that's how you can get started if you are a content creator or a business owner and you're like, how do I get featured in Money Magazine or Forbes or Photos Travel or any of those other places that we would all like to see on our website banners? But the faster way to do that is just to hire somebody like Lexi to do the PR for you and to filter through all those things, because you also kind of leverage some relationships that you have with journalists at this point, right? Where you can just say like, hey, are you looking for any stories? Like, here's a new client of ours. They've got something interesting going on. Do you want to feature this in any of your articles? Because journalists are busy. I mean, everybody's busy, but journalists are like really, really busy with the amount of deadlines that they have to meet. So if you can just go to them with already a well-crafted pitch to say, do you want a story that's basically written for you? Here's something about what my client does, that will save them a lot of time. And they're very, very much more likely to say, yes, I would love to just like edit through the story you've already got going for me, feature it in this like Fox News website, CNN, wherever it is that they work, and then it'll get featured there.
Yeah, I definitely second that. I think the best success that I've had or we've had is actually manually reaching out to journalists by the keywords that they write about and just saying, hey, I see you write about financial services. I actually have a client who could be a fit for one of your future stories, interested in learning more. And the amount of responses that we've gotten is pretty shocking, because they're interested in somebody doing half of the work for them. Like, they then might not have to go make an opportunities query because we just handed them an opportunity for them. So yeah, I definitely think that's a great way to get attention or grab attention, as well as Haro. I also have to have a filter to numb out the notifications, because I found some success on Haro, but it's hard because I felt like just a needle in a haystack. Like, I never knew if anybody read my pitch or if my pitches were even getting to their inbox. With Quoted, and it's Quoted with a Quoted. With Quoted, you actually can see if they read your pitch, how many pitches they've gotten, if the journalist has responded, it gets to your email as well as your inbox. So there's so many different benefits that I've experienced as a consumer. Like, the customer consumer experience is way different than Haro. I'm not a sales rep for Quoted, but I definitely talk about them a lot, just because how different I felt as a user. I also had an onboarding call with them, and to be able to have a customer success manager that we can go to there, never had that with any other platforms. So yeah, definitely recommend downloading their free platform, making a free profile. And if you go to my website, actually, I have an ebook that I made, an 8-step ebook on how to get featured for the cost of nothing. So go grab that if you're interested in just seeing how I've been able to land some of our clients in Bloomberg and radio and TV interviews, just being able to use this platform.
What is the link that somebody would go to find that ebook?
Yeah, so www.akinfinite.com. My company's name is AK Infinite. And on the website, you should see, probably on the homepage, it'll just say, grab our 8-step ebook guide for free. And you can just grab it there.
Awesome. So with everything you've learned about the world of PR and points and miles and everything else, what would you say is your number one tip for listeners today as we kind of wrap up?
That's a really good question. I would say follow Julia if you aren't already, because you'll get some free content. Taking the time to invest in this skill, because it definitely is a skill, as you would know more than anyone. But it's worth it because you're investing in yourself, but you're also investing in your wealth and in your travel. And if you like saving money, converting money into other uses, traveling in style, and doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, being able to learn how to leverage credit cards and points, I think has been one of the best decisions that I've been lucky to make and experience, because now I have a tool that I know, okay, if I want to go to this country and fly in this airline and experience this business class lounge and this business class experience, I have the tools to figure it out. And I don't have to spend thousands of dollars. And maybe if some people want to do that, they can, but I'd rather use that money and invest it in my knowledge to learning how to do it whenever I want for a fraction of the price. So I think that that's been one of the best experiences through this process, is that the world is huge and you can enjoy it in style if you invest in your knowledge. And so that's really what I would want to leave with anyone.
Awesome. Love it. And where can people find you if they have any questions about PR or anything else?
Yeah. So the same website link that I mentioned, or on LinkedIn, it's just Lexi Kaz, K-A-Z, and as well as Instagram, it's Lexi Kaz, but with two Z's, just because somebody took the one Z username. But yeah, I'm pretty active on there, or my direct email is just lexi@akinfinite.com. And yeah, I'm pretty active on all those platforms. So I'll definitely get back to you if you do reach out.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much, Lexi, for coming onto the show today and telling us about your business and how people can get featured in different media without having to pay a whole bunch of money, because spoilers, a lot of people out there just pay to get featured in places, but there's a lot of ways where you don't have to pay to get featured in a lot of these different news media outlets. And thank you for telling us about all of your awesome business class trips you've gotten to take in the last couple of years. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Julia. You're the best. I owe all of it to you and everything you've taught me. And so, yeah, just appreciate you. And thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!